Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Now let's talk about who votes in New York City, who doesn't, and what you can do to help fix it. And we'll start with the simplest first step. Make sure you and the people you know are registered to vote. There's a big deadline coming up if you want to vote in the New York City primaries. You have to be registered by next Friday. That's August 16th. Now, I'm going to be joined in the studio by a trio of pro-democracy WNYC reporters. They're here to talk about voting rates and voter education. We've got Anna Sale of the Newsroom. She's got a piece about areas of the city that have very low voter turnout and what various groups are doing to fix that. Anna, thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And in a minute, we're going to hear from New Tech City host Manoush Zamarodi about how technology can help register New Yorkers. Manoush, hi.
Hi, Jamie.
And first, we're going to do a little on-air experiment. Brian Lehrer show producer Jody Aragon is here in the studio, and he's going to help one New Yorker, just one, register to vote live on the air. But all of you can register along with us. We're going to see if we can do this before the end of the segment. So, Jody, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So who's the voter?
All right, so this is my good friend, Dylan Fareed. I learned last night at our regular poker game that Dylan is still registered to vote in California, his home state. So we're going to fix that right now. Even though Dylan and I both lost $10 last night, we can count this as a win for democracy. Dylan, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so you ready to get right by New York voting laws right now?
I'm ready to do my best.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to work from the WNYC Voter Registration Guide, which is linked to on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Listeners at home, you can do this. We encourage you to encourage your friends to do this. And the first thing that we're going to do is go to the Board of Elections Voter Registration Search. I think there's a lot of people who may not actually know that whether they're registered to vote or not here. And maybe I just have particularly spacey friends, but I know people who don't even know if they're registered to vote here. So, Dylan, you have that page open, right?
I do.
Okay, so it's super simple, Dylan. You're going to do this as I talk through, but you're going to type in the fields your last name, your first name, date of birth, the county you live in. Dylan, you're in Brooklyn, so you're in Kings County, and your zip code. And then you just hit search. And Dylan, what are the results?
It says no matches found.
No matches found. So we know Dylan is not a voter here in New York State. Anna Sale sitting
Dylan,
next to me, she just did it.
Yeah, we're all following along, right. Dylan, here on our screen.
I'm registered, Dylan.
Yes,
me
Dylan.
Too, Dylan.
Okay. So that's fine. We know that Dylan is not a registered voter
we're
here in New York
State.
We're proud
of you, Dylan, that you're doing this.
Okay. So next step is and I know there's one question that Dylan has, which is that he has a California driver's license. That's right, right, Dylan?
It is.
And so the question is, do I need to get a New York State driver's license in order to register to vote? And the answer is no. There are other regulations that would encourage you to get a license in New York once you've moved here. But for voting purposes, all you need to have done is lived in New York for 30 days. And you can prove that with a photo, another sort of photo ID with your address on it, a utility bill, paycheck, all of those things.
So proof of residence.
Yes. So when Dylan fills out these forms, he can just attach that and he's good to go. He doesn't need to actually switch his driver's license. The one note is that if you do have a New York State driver's license and you are moving, say, from Syracuse to New York City, you want to change your registration, that's when you can do it online, which makes it a little easier. It's essentially getting the DMV to fill out the form for you and mail it in for you. But Dylan and others who move from out of state can't do that, so we're going to do it the old-fashioned way, paper form. Dylan, click on that link on our voting guide for the PDF for the English voter registration form. You see that?
Got it.
Okay. So do you have a printer?
I do.
Okay. So Dylan has a printer, which is a big step for a lot of people. If you don't have a printer, you may have to go find a printer or you may have to go to your Board of Elections office. The Board of Elections in Kings County is in downtown Brooklyn. Dylan lives in Williamsburg, so maybe a bit of a hassle. But he has a printer, so we're good to go. It's two pages, and at the top you'll see the qualifications. So we'll go through them real quick. Dylan, are you a U.S. citizen?
I sure am.
Are you 18 years of age by the end of this year?
Yes.
Are you not in prison or parole for a felony?
Not presently.
Okay. And interestingly enough, if you are on probation for a felony, you can vote. But if you're on parole or in prison, you cannot vote in New York State. And then there's a last qualification there. It says, do you claim the right to vote elsewhere? And this one I think is a little misleading because it's like, well, I was registered somewhere else. But the point is, you register here in New York. They talk to each other. You're now a New York voter. You just go ahead and fill this out by the deadline and you're good to go. Okay. And the one last very important thing that we need to point out is that if you want to vote in the primary, you have to register with a party. So if you didn't fill out that portion or if you filled out, I do not wish to register with a particular party as I have, then you can't vote in the Democratic or Republican primary coming up on September 10th. And if you want to switch your affiliation, it's too late because you have to do that outside of the year of the election, which I know some people have a problem with. But the point is, Dylan, you don't have to tell us what party you want to register for, are you willing to register for a party in order to vote for the September primary?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so now Dylan and I are going to go fill out this form, and we'll check back in with you in a few minutes and see how democracy is going.
And reminder to all registrants, next Friday, August 16th, is the deadline. So like Dylan, you want to get to it. Now, in the meantime, while Jody and Dylan plug away at this registration process, I'm going to talk with Anna Sale about her reporting today about New York City's low voter turnout in parts of the city, especially. And Anna, to be clear, your reporting, well, it may be about a very different kind of New Yorker from, say, Jody's friend Dylan, who moved from another state and just needs to change his registration to continue voting here. What communities were you focusing on?
Well, I think it's important to point out we have this map on WNYC.org where you can see just the difference between where adult citizens live in the city and how many of those turned out in the municipal elections 4 years ago in 2009. So you can take a look, and it's not just – in the Bronx, it was the worst, but it's not just the Bronx. You can see in Queens and in Brooklyn and in Manhattan and in Staten Island, there were very pockets of very low turnout, a huge disparity between the adult citizens and those adult citizens who actually turned out to vote. But there are a number of reasons why people don't vote. The Campaign Finance Board in the city did a great report last year where they looked at what was causing this downward slide in the voting participation rates in New York City. And they found things like residential mobility, which counts people like Dylan, people who move to an apartment, you know, less than a year. They're very unlikely to vote. And that kind of makes sense. You might not think of that place as your home. You may have moved from somewhere else in the city, and then all of a sudden your polling place is across the city. So that encapsulates a big swath of New Yorkers. There are other factors like low educational attainment, low income. All of that correlates with low voter participation. So does being a naturalized citizen versus a native-born citizen. They have lower rates of voting. So in my story that's up on WNYC.org right now, I went to the Bronx to look at what was happening there and what are the efforts this year in 2013 to try to increase that level of participation.
Is there a difference, Anna, between voter turnout and voter rates?
Well, there's a couple ways people define voter turnout. Sometimes they just look at registered voters, and then of the registered voters, how many of those went to the polls. What our map that's up on WNYC.org shows is we're not just looking at registered voters, because there's plenty of people here like Dylan who live in New York City who have a stake in our municipal elections but just haven't taken that step to mail in an updated form to our Board of Elections. So our map is trying to get at really who are the adult citizens in New York City and who's actually voting.
Who actually turns up and we used to say pulls the lever.
Exactly. Well, we're going to have one of those
lever
machine. Yeah, ballots. It's confusing.
And I guess there are other things. There's a language barrier. There's the outreach efforts in the various communities you visited. Did you speak with actual voters? I understand you went knocking door to door.
Yeah, I went out with 32BJ, SEIU 32BJ, which is one of the big politically involved unions that represents janitors and security workers here in New York City. And actually about a fifth of their members are not citizens, so not eligible to vote. But what's interesting is their outreach strategy this campaign season is to target all of their members, and they will go to the door of a non-citizen and say, you know what? You live in this neighborhood. You tell your family members who are citizens. You tell your neighbors who are citizens. You turn out to our rallies, because they have two objectives. They both want to make sure that the candidates they've endorsed get elected, but they also want to show that, you know what, in the neighborhoods where our members live, there's political power to be found, because they want city council, they want the new mayor to look at SEIU 32BJ as a political powerhouse for more negotiating power after the election.
Is the Board of Elections doing its own outreach?
They are.
Is it effective?
They are. Well, there's a number of efforts that are going underway. Manoush can talk about that. Some of that involves new tech tools, but the CFB has a group that is trying to address this problem, that the objective is, you know what, New York City, we want to be civically engaged. We want higher levels of participation. So there are groups that want more voter turnout. But then it's also important to look at the people who are elected, who could make political decisions about ways to increase participation. If you got elected, what's your incentive to change who actually turns out to the polls? So that's that other countervailing pressure.
And, you know, the Brian Lehrer Show did a voter turnout event a couple of years ago. There were some Democratic operatives and there were some Republican operatives, and they said they didn't really feel pressure to expand the electorate. Not everyone has a huge incentive to register new voters.
Exactly.
They're happy with the base they got.
If your job as a campaign consultant is to, you know, make sure that your candidate wins, you like a predictable electorate. You'll hear consultants talk a lot about prime voters. Those are New York City voters who turn out at elections. That's a small share of the adult citizens who actually live in New York City, but that's who campaigns focus on, because they want to win with the people who actually go out to the polls.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to, Annie, you're going to stick around. I'm going to bring in Manoush in just a moment to talk about how tech is going to, I think, increasingly expand the electorate. But let's check back in with Jody and our on-air voter registration drive of one.
One by one, step by step.
One by one, that's right. Okay, Jody, what's going on? How's it going there?
I don't know.
Jody
Dylan's Averton. Been filling out the form. Dylan, are you there?
Yep, we're finishing it up.
Okay, how's it going? So you printed it out, and you're filling out the form. Any pitfalls, anything annoying or difficult in the form?
Well, the section about identification seemed a little confusing, just because I've got the California license. But when I reread the section about verifying my identity, realized that that actually wasn't an issue.
Right, exactly. So if you can prove that you live here, even though you have a license elsewhere, if you can prove that you live here, you can vote. We may have just gotten you in trouble with the jury duty folks, Dylan, but for voting's sake, you're in good shape.
It's not
right
trouble.
Now.
Jury duty is an honor.
Right, exactly. No, you're going to feel great about this when this is all over, Dylan. Okay, so it's been about 7 minutes since we started this process, and he's most of the way through the form. I think he'll cruise through, and then Like I said, and I think as Anna's reporting showed, you know, sometimes finding a printer and finding a stamp in this day and age can be one of the toughest parts of this process. But Dylan is going to figure that out, and I think we're good to go. I'll come back in and just give you a thumbs up when we've sealed the deal.
All right. Well, from printers and stamps to the new tech world we live in, new tech cities. Manoush Zamarodi is with us, and let's talk new tech and those sorts of efforts. Are we talking mostly about mobile outreach in the 21st century?
Yeah. So as Anna mentioned, the Campaign Finance Board, they're trying to find new ways, and they happen to have somebody who's very tech savvy on their board. And last night at the New York Tech Meetup, they have this monthly meeting where people come and they demo new apps or new types of technology. And actually, one of the people doing that was the Campaign Finance Board. So really sort of making their big debut in front of there's 750 people in the auditorium, but there's 33,000 members of New York Tech Meetup. So this is sort of a new constituency. And what they did was they unveiled a new app that they've created, which is called NYC Votes. So what they want to do is they want to get you started on that process, like Dylan has been doing, with on your phone. And since more and more of us are on our phones and fewer and fewer of us are on a computer at home and a lot of people aren't on a computer at work, they're saying that this is a way to get people, make it easier for them to start that voter registration process. But as noted by Jody and Dylan, you still need the printer and you still need the stamp, so we can't be too high tech about it yet.
And you think tech can help these sorts of efforts, I would imagine. You were at a hackathon recently. We talked about it yesterday in the newsroom, and there were a lot of industrial heavyweights. But the Googles and the Facebooks of the world, do they really have any incentive? I mean, when we talk about this, we're not talking about a candidate using Facebook.
Correct.
We're talking about Facebook itself having some incentive to do the right thing and register voters in some nonpartisan way.
That's right.
Or Google or Twitter or any social media platform.
So over the weekend, the Voting Information Project had their first hackathon. And what they did is they got about 100 hackers together over the weekend here in New York. And Voter Information Project is the Pew, it's Google, it's Facebook, it's all of these people coming together without a candidate in mind, but just to get people to start thinking of new and unusual ways to get out the vote, to get people registered, some ideas for registering, but more about informing people about the candidates and more about actually getting to the polls on voting day. You know, let's be clear, this was an exercise. This was about getting people together who, you know, if you can get 100 people together to spend the entire day thinking about how to hack the voting process, they say that that's a success. None of these are probably actually going to be, you know, given the big old thumbs up by the campaign finance board, but the idea is to raise awareness. So one of them, for example, which I just tried out, is called GovernLeap. And you can go to governleap.com, and it sort of gamifies the process of getting to know a candidate. So it puts you in the shoes of a candidate, and it says, you were 7 when your mother died. Click here. You were 10 when your father decided. Just like, so wow. Then you figure out, like, who, I feel like I am this person. And then you figure out, oh, it's Senator so-and-so. And you feel like a personal relationship to the candidate. And
before
then
you even know
before you even
answer,
know where they
who,
stand
who
on the issues. Yeah, so sort of finding different ways of getting into people's minds and getting them thinking about voting and thinking about what democracy does mean to them.
Anna, we were in that meeting together with Manoush, and we were talking about all these ways to register voters. And in the meeting, you did point out that one simple way to expand the electorate, and Manoush, you can weigh in here if you want, would be to simply make the path to voting less restrictive.
Yeah.
Do you want to say a couple words about that?
Well,
I just think just the few seconds we have left.
One important point to make about New York City elections is this is not the most accommodating place to vote in the country. This is not a place that has same-day registration. There's no early voting in New York City. There's no-excuse absentee voting. And all of those things exist other places. And we saw during the presidential election that people can mobilize around that. And if you can go to the polls the Sunday before the election as opposed to the Tuesday, it's just easier. I mean, I talked to a voter in the Bronx who said, you know what, I lived here for decades. I immigrated from Serbia, but I just voted for the first time in 2012. And he said, look, I was going to work. I was waking up in the morning at 4 a.m., coming home at 6 p.m. I was never registered to vote. So it's not just how to register to vote. It's that people have to make it a priority. And then it also has to be convenient enough that you can fit it in the busy life that we all have here in New York City.
Yeah, I've always believed Election Day should be a national holiday, a federal holiday. Dylan, speaking of all of that, what's happening there?
Well, I couldn't find a stamp, so I figure I've invested the time in this, so I'm going to drop it off tomorrow morning on the way to work at the Board of Elections office.
This is not good.
See, this
Dylan.
Is not good.
No.
One more hurdle.
Do you promise?
I promise to do it. I've invested the time already.
Okay, we're going to check back in with you.
Okay, please do.
All right. I want to say a very big thank you to Anna Sale, WMYC's politics reporter, Manoush Zemirodi, hosts WMYC's New Tech City, Jody Avrigan, producer at The Brian Lehrer Show, and most of all to you, Dylan, who will drop that stamp envelope in the mail tomorrow.
Oh, and Jamie, do you mind if I just reach out to all the civic-minded hackers out there? New Tech City is running a hackathon survey. We want to know, are these hackathons actually having any effect on how the city works or how your business runs? So please go to newtechcity.org and fill out the survey. It takes less time than it does to register to vote.
Absolutely. And everyone, register to vote. Thanks to everyone. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. We'll be back in a minute.